We wrapped up our 21 days of prayer and fasting yesterday. How many of y'all feeling good on this day one out of the fasting? Man, I know for some it was like, man, Bethany, she did coffee. And the first thing I smelled when I woke up this morning was coffee. And she was ready. She was telling me last night, she said, I've never been more ready to drink a cup of coffee in my life. And so, glory to God. So I know she's feeling good today. And so so I don't know what it was that you were fasting, but nonetheless, that was something that she did. And so, the house smelled great this morning. So, man, we've been in this series on Pneuma and been having a great time. I want to welcome also those just that are watching with us online today. Thankful for you guys and just joining with us. So, Elevate, come on, let's just welcome all those watching online with us today. Yeah. Thankful for you all. And what a series I feel like this has been for us and as a church and just moving forward. And, you know, I can't think of a better way. I've been over the last few weeks just been meeting with different ones and just seeing and hearing what God is doing through this time of fasting has just been incredible. And so I just love it when y'all come up and share what God's doing in your life. Man, it blesses me. It ministers back to me. And so I've had several of you do that through the weeks. And so just love to see your hearts that are hungry and seeking after God, because that is what it's about. And so this last message today, I think we've saved, you know, the best for last. And I think honestly, it's going to be a message that'll really challenge us. But honestly, all three of these weeks, I think, has helped to build, I hope, a really great foundation, because I asked you at the beginning of this series to give me a blank page to work with, to throw out all your preconceived kind of notions and ideas that you've ever had or have heard about the Holy Spirit, and to just open up your heart. And so I just know that God's speaking and God's doing some great things. But I want to open up in this scripture. We're going to read two here, and then we'll do just kind of a quick review from the week, from the past few weeks. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, it says, go after a life of love. Come on, will you read that with me? Go after a life of love. There it is. As if your life depended on it, because it does, give yourselves to the gifts God gives you. No, nothing is more important than your love for Jesus and your love for people. Amen. And so that's the single greatest commandment that Jesus gave us and the assignment. But then also give yourselves to the gifts, because God has given us gifts in our life to use. And so, and then 2 Corinthians, I alluded to this during the transition of our worship this morning in 2 Corinthians 13. The amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, man, the love from the Father, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. And so in week number one, if you missed any of these messages, by the way, make sure you go back and you can watch these online on our archive there. But we talked about who He is, who the Holy Spirit is, and His role in our life. And one of the characteristics really of who Jesus or who the Holy Spirit is, as Scripture says, He's our counselor, which that word counselor in the Greek means it's parakletos, which means called to one side, that you and I never have to do this life alone, and we're certainly not doing this without the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so then week number two, we looked at some of the literal translations that describes the Holy Spirit. And we also have learned that English translators had a tough time kind of translating the Holy Spirit. So the English word is spirit and or ghost, but it's actually wind. It's the Hebrew word is ruach, and then the Greek word is pneuma, which is the title of this series. And again, that just means blast of breath, wind, fresh air in your life. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is for us. And it's a relationship to be enjoyed, a relationship to be refreshed by. And then I loved last week's message, because last week's message was talking about a Holy Spirit in me, a Holy Spirit in me. And that was specifically, we talked about the power of the Holy Spirit, but that He also comes with fire. Everybody shout fire. All right. And so, and that fire is a type or a symbol of just the purification process that takes place in our life. That if we want to be more like God, how many know there's some things that we're not going to be able to take with us, some things that may be trying to hold us back? It's part of the work of the Holy Spirit to help bring fire in our lives so that we can live a life that's pure before the Lord. Amen? And so that's been our hope even through these 21 days of prayer and fasting, that maybe there's been some things in your life that God has been showing you, speaking to you, that you realize, man, not only does this need to be out of my life for 21 days, but maybe some of the things that you were fasting needs to continue to be not a part of your life, all right? And so you have to be sensitive to that, to whatever the Lord is telling you. But today we're going to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I love this, because I'm very passionate about this, because our church is passionate about spiritual gifts in our church. And I think think this will be a real help. So I want to give you a few things, and then we're just going to kind of break it down, so to speak. But I just want to open up with prayer, and then we're going to go right into the message. Amen? All right, Father, we just thank you for the next few minutes, God, that we have together. We just thank you, God, for eyes that are open to see what you have, ears that are open to hear, God. And so, Lord, we want to see, we want to hear, and God, our hearts to be open to completely receive all that you have for us, God. And I just ask that over the next few minutes, God, that you just bless our time together. But God, we want to go on a journey with you. We want to pursue you with everything we have. And God, we just give you this time this morning. Come and move in our life. And we just thank you, Lord, again, for the power of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And everybody said a good amen. Amen. All right. So I want to give you a couple gifts that we focus on that it's really important. The first one is the gift of eternal life. The gift of eternal life. So we receive the gift of eternal life because you and I were at a place that you and I were supposed to pay for our own sins. We had a great debt that we owed because of the sins that we committed, but because of Jesus, we owe nothing any longer. As long as we receive that free gift of salvation, we're debt-free. Amen, everybody? And so that the eternal gift is an incredible gift that God gives us, obviously. The Bible says it this way in Romans 6:23. It's the wages of sin that brings death, but it's the gift of God that is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so there can sometimes be some confusion with this, but the only way, and there's no confusion in this church because we're very clear on this message, the only way to heaven is through a personal relationship with Jesus, everybody, all right? So let me always be very, very clear, and we will always be clear with that message, that the only thing you need to get into heaven is a relationship with Jesus, amen? All right, here's the second thing, the second gift that comes, and we're going to expound upon this a little bit more in a couple minutes, and that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so this is a separate gift that happens from salvation. Jesus ministered forgiveness of sins to us and to his disciples, and he breathed on them. I'm going to show you a couple things. He breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 1. It says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift. Everybody say, wait for the gift. All right, so I want you to understand, this is not a heaven or hell gift, all right? So we need to, again, understand Jesus is the only way to heaven. He said, so wait for the gift that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, notice the future tense, in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that God did this purposely. I believe that he purposely and intentionally made these separate gifts so there's never any confusion of the way to salvation. Because the only way, again, to have salvation in having a relationship with God is getting into heaven. That's the only thing that you and I need. And so I believe that he wanted you and I, again, to know that salvation is the all-important that settles your eternity, all right? And then there's what we're going to be talking about today, and that's spiritual gifts. The third one here is spiritual gifts. So just kind of laying a little foundation, and then we're going to jump in. Spiritual gifts. So Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, it says, we have different gifts according to the grace that is given us. I love that word gift in the Greek. The word gift in the Greek is actually the word charis, and it's where we get the word charisma or charismatic from. Charis literally means grace gift. And so spiritual gifts can really be literally seen as a grace gift. As you see up here, some have the gift to sing or to play. It's their grace gift that they have. It is a gift that God has uniquely given to each and every one of us, that there are gifts in our life. And so I have a grace on me to pastor. I have that gift that's in my life. And then others have other gifts in other areas, which we're going to see more of that here in a few minutes. But sometimes I think there seems to be a lot of confusion around spiritual gifts. And this is why it's been a while since I've talked about this. So honestly, I've been really excited to talk on this subject just because bringing clarity is so important. And then you need to know what we believe, all right, as a church and how we move forward and what we believe according to the gifts of the Spirit. But there was a moment that there was even confusion in the days of when Paul was present, that it happened in the early church as well, that Paul had planted a church in Corinth, all right, which was actually part of the church that he helped to plant. And there's some confusion, there are some things beginning to stir, and they received the Holy Spirit, but then some things got out of control. And so we'll see this. Paul actually dedicates a whole chapter in helping to restore some order here. And you can go read in your Bibles later this week in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and it reads all about this. But let's look at this. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 1. He said, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. Or in the South, they say ignorant. All right, and so don't be ignorant, all right? So don't be ignorant, all right? And so in other words, Paul's saying, I appreciate your attempts, but we're getting out of control on both sides. And so there's always kind of two extremes when we talk a little bit about this, and this is what Paul was seeing specifically in his day. There's the extreme of some saying, man, I want nothing to do with these spiritual gifts. I'm good, no thank you. That's fine. But then there's the other extreme of where things are done, that people start doing things with their quote-unquote spiritual gifts that are totally out of control, that's not scriptural. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:40 that we are to do all things decently and in order. And we learned in the first week of this series that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. All right, so it's important for us to have this right understanding. And so people ask this question all the time, and I've had this throughout my years of ministry. Do you believe our spiritual gifts are for today? Are they for today? Of course, we do as a church, absolutely. But there's a doctrine of belief that is out there, and it's been out there for some time, and that's called cessationism, or they call themselves kind of cessationists. And they believe initially, essentially, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit stopped when the apostles died. All right, so that's a belief that's there, and that's fine if they want to believe that, but that's not what the Bible says, all right? And so let's look at John chapter 14 and verse 12. Jesus said, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And I love you to say this with me with some real oomph, all right? And greater works. Everybody shout, greater works. Then these he will do because I go to my Father. I love this part about the heart of our Father that says that he wants you and I to go and to do greater works, greater things. In other words, he's saying, I want my church, and you and I are the church, amen? I want my church to do greater things than even what you read about. And I think that shows the true heart of a father. I know for my kids, when they grow, I want them to far outdo dad and mom. I want them to go. I want them to succeed and do even more things. And so that's the heart of Jesus. As he's saying, man, I want you guys to go to church and do even greater things. And we can do that because that he goes to the Father. And so then there's others who just believe like us that spiritual gifts are for today, and it is what we hear. And so it's interesting, I think, about spiritual gifts, and when we talk about spiritual gifts a lot of times, is I never hear, you know, people argue about the gift of faith, or the gift of mercy, or the gift of giving, all right? It's amazing to me that the arguments always center around one gift, and that is the gift of tongues, all right? It's an interesting thing that tends to happen. And so some people believe tongues are of the devil. Some believe that you have to speak it in order to go to heaven. And then there's some people that believe if you don't speak in tongues that you don't have the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to spend a couple minutes trying to really, I'd love to spend a whole service just teaching on this, because that's the kind of time I need. So working on it this week, I thought, all right, Lord, you got to help me fit all this message in. I was telling the worship team Thursday night, I had like 11 pages of notes. And my God, yeah, that's the preacher in me. And I had to skip. How many know if I had 11 pages of notes, we'd be here till tonight, all right? And so obviously I have a short window of time, so I'm going to do the best that I can with the time that I have. But the question is, and this is what I get, why not a package deal, Pastor? Why not just get all this in one? Why separate? And again, when you received Jesus as Lord of your life and you became a Christian, you definitely received the Holy Spirit, all right? You definitely did. But there's a second experience that happens, all right, and that is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is what's powerful, and I'm going to show you a couple things here. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, all right, Luke was part of the, helped to author in the book of Acts, and he also helped to write the Gospel of Luke, and he says this, he's talking here, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. So Jesus showed up after he raised from the dead. He was on earth for about 40 or so days, and he showed himself first to the disciples, and he actually comes through the wall. And it's actually some Bible humor. The first words that Jesus said when he comes through the wall and he looks at the disciples is, peace be with you. All right, I don't know about you, but I might be freaking out if that happened to me. And the first thing I hear is, Peace be with you, all right? And so, anyways, a little Bible humor there for you. But he shows them the scars on his hands and on his side from the nails and the imprints, and then the spear, obviously, that was put in his side, which is all scriptural. And it goes on to say, he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Notice, I want you to see the future tense that God's saying. You've got the Holy Spirit, all right, but there's more. Everybody shout, there's more. All right? And then in Luke chapter 24, Luke actually talks about this experience. He says it one way here. He says it a little differently in Luke, and he actually describes it as, he says it this way, that in the days to come, or in a few days, he says it this way, that I will clothe you with power, which I like how he says it that way in Luke chapter 24. So let me say it this way. I've never met a Christian in my life that says, I don't want more power. All right, I've never met a Christian that says, I want to believe in God who doesn't do miracles. Never met a Christian who said that, all right? Never met a Christian who says, I have a problem with spiritual gifts. Just never have met a Christian that has said those things. The truth is, for me, there's always, again, one gift that seems to hang people up, and that is, like, what's up with these tongues things, man? Like, what's up with the tongues? Like, can I have everything but the tongues part? Like, can I have all these other gifts, but this tongue thing is just like, whoa. Like, you know, and so I want to show you a scripture that I think really helps to teach, but brings some clarity. And by the way, you will always criticize what you don't understand. Okay? So it's important that we have clarity and that we have understanding about God's gift. And we should never treat anything that God has given us, anything that he gives us as good. And we should never treat anything that God has given us as something repulsive. All right, that everything that the Holy Spirit gives us is something that is always good. Amen, church? All right, so let me show you a couple things out of 1 Corinthians. We're going to kind of journey on this for a couple minutes. And it says this, chapter 2, verse 1. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. This is Paul talking here, encouraging. He's talking not at man's capacity, which you're going to see what that means here. He says, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaim to you the testimony about God. I love the fact that, how many know that we don't have to be perfect in this thing, all right, and have to know all the right words. In fact, it really blessed me last week. After our third service, one of our guys in the church, he's been here for some time, Brian Andrews, came up to me, said, Pastor, I need to tell you something. I just thought this was so cool. And he came up to me, he said, I want to, and with his permission, by the way, I'm sharing this. So, but he said, I wanted to share this with you. He's got a son that's around 21 years of age, and it has really been feeling in his heart to have a real conversation with him about the Lord. And has really felt in his heart that maybe he's wandered a little bit away from the things of God. And so he said, man, all night, we saw a movie, went out to eat, all these things, and he said, and here I am driving him home, and we still haven't had the conversation. I just didn't know, he said, I didn't know how to have the conversation. He said, for whatever reason, I was just battling that. And he said, finally, we get on the road of where he lives, and Brian said, the whole time, I'm just, me and the Holy Spirit just talking, and like, now's the time, what do I say, what do I do, you know? And Brian just kind of remembered some of the messages that we've been talking about, and that, you know, if he'll open up his mouth, God will fill it. And the Holy Spirit said, Brian, you don't have to know what to say. And this is what the Lord told him. I thought this was so good for everyone here. I said, Brian, this is the part I wanted to share with all of us today. He said, I heard the Holy Spirit say, Brian, it's going to sound awkward, and it may feel a little uncomfortable at first, but I'm going to give you the words to say. And then he took it a step further and shared with me. He said, and now that I know, as I keep opening up my mouth and pray, it may seem awkward and a little bit different at first for me, but the more that I do it, the more stronger and comfortable I'll get in it. I thought that was so good. I said, man, Brian, that is good. He said, so I did. Man, I opened up and talked to my son, and there was a time of ministry. He said, the Holy Spirit gave me some things, and he said, and it was uncomfortable. He said, I didn't know exactly what was coming out, but I just trusted what I was sensing in my spirit, and I was led by that, not by me. And I thought, that's it, man. I said, that's following the Holy Spirit. So I just thought that was good. All right, so goes on to say, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message Here he is again talking about this in my preaching. We're not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, all right? So that your faith, look at this, may not rest, all right? Might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. And can I just say this, by the way? I'm desperate for that. I'm desperate for God's power. I'm not trying to rest my experience on man's wisdom. Is there anybody that understands what I'm saying this morning? That I need more than man's wisdom. I want to experience and know the power of God for myself. Man, I'm desperate for that. Let me say it this way. If Sunday services were dependent on me and our team, you know, to make things flow, this would be awful. But because we're not and we're dependent on the work of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God, guess what? It takes all the pressure off of us. And we allow God to lead and to do what he wants to do, all right? Goes on to say, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Can I just tell you that God desires for each and every one of us to experience his glory? That word glory in the Greek is the word kabod, C-H-A-B-A-D. And it literally means the full weight of who God is. That God wants you and I to have an encounter, and he wants to be able to put the full weight of his presence on your life. In the Old Testament, when God moved and his presence and his glory fell, the Bible says they couldn't even stand. That's how powerful the presence of God and the glory of God is. Amen? So he wants all of us to experience his glory. The Bible goes on to say, none of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. So there's a dilemma. And here's the dilemma, that God has this need for you and I to experience the fullness of his glory and the full weight of who he is. But the problem is you and I have a being that can't receive it. Okay? Won't you follow with me? That's the dilemma. That's the problem. Because no eye has seen, nor ear has heard. Because in other words, if your eye would see the full weight of your glory, your eye would go, what's that? And if your ear would hear it, you would go, huh, what is that? Check this out with me. We're going to continue to go here. It says, but God has revealed to us by his Spirit. Come on. God has revealed this to us by his Spirit. And so you and I, we learned this last week, are a triune being, all right, that you have a body. I'm looking at it right now. All right, you have a body, and being that body, you also have a soul, mind, will, and emotions, all right? But you are the only creation that has this third part, and that third part is your spirit. All right, you with me so far? All right, so that spirit part of you. So your body, your mind, your will, and emotions have limited hard drive space. Okay, you can only handle so much. And if we were to dump all that God has and is into those two things, your body and your soul, there is limited capacity. So this brain of mine has limited capacity. All right? I don't know everything. Is anybody else out there that doesn't know everything? Okay. So we have limited capacity. In other words, too much information on too little of a hard drive. All right? Body and soul can't handle it all. But the part of you, here's the cool part, that is like God, the spirit part of you has the capacity. This is when things get exciting, all right? Because here was the problem for God, that he has to come up with this way to get you his glory in your life by bypassing your soul and bypassing your body as well, all right, that part of you, and to be able to get it directly to your spirit, all right? So he creates a language that your body and soul does not understand, but your spirit says, oh, yeah, I know that. Oh, yeah, I know that language. I know that. And the Bible even talks about that our spirit testifies with his spirit. All right, and that his spirit testifies with us. Why? Because here's what it does. It bypasses the body, soul. It bypasses the part that would try to filter it, that would try to change it, all right, that the part that has limited understanding, And it's okay. Paul said it this way. He said, I pray with my understanding. All right, I pray in English what I know, but then I tap in and I pray in the Spirit. And I pray what the Spirit leads me to pray. So because the natural part of you and I will always have limitations. All right, so it's important to know we always will have those limitations. Now, let's go on. There's some other good things here. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. I don't know about you, but I want to keep going with God. I want to experience the deep things. I want to experience the more, let's say it that way as well, things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Watch this. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. Did you get that? All right? The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. Again, you'll always criticize what you don't understand. That's why we want to bring understanding and clarity to this, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. So this heavenly language that's called tongues is a way for your spirit man and God's Spirit to have communication and to leave your brain out of it. All right? Let me say it this way. It's the first time in your life where your brain is not producing the words, but your spirit is. Man, that's good. All right, I'm going to say it again. It'll be the first time in your life where your brain is not producing the words any longer, but your spirit is. Man, I hope you grab a hold of that. So here's the number one question I get all the time. So there's a lot of questions, and I wanted to answer questions, but I felt like this is the most predominant question I get. Pastor, can I be baptized in the Holy Spirit and not speak in tongues? And the answer of that is yes, but you can also be married and never kiss your wife. All right? And I don't know why you would want to not have that in your life, but the answer is yes to your question, because this is the question I get all the time. But I would say, why wouldn't you want that? You know, why wouldn't that? It's not some repulsive experience, all right? Paul said it this way. He said, I wish all y'all spoke in tongues. He said, and experience this. It's a dimension of Christian living for those who want his presence and power in fierce and evil times, all right? For me personally, I pray in the Spirit every day. It's just something I do because I know that I lack to pray with the understanding. I'm limited in that. I've learned that in my life, all right? And so because I know I have limitations, I am desperate for more of God. I'm desperate for more of his power. And I think what's tried to happen even on this subject and with spiritual gifts is that the devil has done a good job at trying to hijack the Holy Spirit. And we're here in this month of January to set the record straight for our church and what we believe, where we're going, and the gifts and the things that are available through our relationship, the Holy Spirit. All right? And so, and with right teaching, right understanding, all right? So, and let me just say this. If you never speak in tongues, listen, it's okay. You are not a second-class Christian, everybody. All right? And so don't let the devil mess with you or people, religion mess with you. No, you are not second-class if you don't. But I just know if God has anything for me that's good, I want it. And I want all of it. And some have asked me this question. Here's another question I've gotten. Are tongues a part of our services? And the answer to that is no, because it's never been a part of our services, because the Bible tells us it shouldn't be. Let me give you this scripture in 1 Corinthians. It says this. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and some who do not understand or some unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? All right? So the Bible says this, that we are to be sensitive to those who don't understand, and for those who don't believe, all right? I love it because the Holy Spirit gives us guidelines for his church, and it's important. He is teaching us, in other words, how to behave. And again, we learned that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, all right? And so God is, listen to me, God is always way more concerned about those who don't know him coming to him than us doing our thing. Amen? All right? And so it's important for us to understand that. So my hope today in the last couple minutes that I have with you is to get you to a comfort level of opening up your heart to the gifts of the Spirit and what He has. All right? So there's some more outside of this tongues thing. But I wanted to take an opportunity to try to teach that today, to bring clarity to something that I think that the enemy has so tried to mess up. All right? And so, all right, y'all good? Ready to keep going? Here we go. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says this, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. First of all, you need to understand about spiritual gifts is that His gifts are unique. They are very unique. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says it this way. There are different kinds of gifts. Everybody say there are different kinds of gifts. But the same Spirit. Everybody say, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Three times, notice this, that God uses the word different to describe these gifts. Why? Because the giftings of God are unique, all right? And the cool thing about the Holy Spirit is they're customized for each and every one of us in here. All right? And so, and I think you see it in families, you see it in people. In other words, if somebody's out in the hallway right now and they spill a cup of coffee, a person with the gift of mercy would come up and say, oh, you know what? Don't worry about that. It's all good. You know, somebody will get that cleaned up for you. The gift of serving comes in and says, hey, I see the mess. I got that. Let me clean that up for you. And then the gift of preaching may come in and try to help them to preach to them, to help them to say, hey, maybe hold your cup this way a little bit better so it doesn't happen. All right, so you can see the gifts in motion. Are you understand what I'm saying, everybody? Okay, and so I just think that's kind of how it works. All right, number two is His gifts are needed. Oh my goodness, in heaven, if we're going to be able to see the Great Commission come about in the world today, it's because of God's people using their gifts. The problem that we have in America today is not a matter of there being a gift problem, because we don't have that. God's placed that in each and every one of us. It's that we have statistics that are still alarming that 87% of Americans, Christians, don't know their gifts. So I appreciate the fact that our church does a growth track that helps. We actually teach on spiritual gifts. It's our step two. And I talked to some of the ones that came out of this growth track. We're kind of working and tweaking some things, and so I was back there with them, and then talked to some of them afterwards, and I said, what you think about the spiritual gifts part? And they said, oh my gosh, a few of them said it makes complete sense, but I never recognize it as a gift. And I thought, man, how cool it is that God has placed some supernatural things on the inside of us, all right, giftings to go make a difference, all right? And so I just think it's healthy. We need the gifts in operation in the local church. Amen? 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. That's why every one of you are a 10. You're great at something. And I'm telling you, man, God needs you and you need Him. It's important, all right? And here's again what I know. We cannot fulfill that mission unless we welcome those gifts. And so our dream here at Elevate City is for you to always know your gifts and your purpose. I love to see, man, just more and more people rising up that, you know, this past growth track that we just had, it's awesome to see so many new families that rising up and understanding their gifts, but now not just sitting on them, but making the decision, I'm gonna do something beyond myself. I'm gonna step out of my comfort zone, and I'm gonna get with it, and I'm gonna serve and make a difference. Here's the third thing. His gifts are fulfilling. And this is so true. When you operate in the giftings that the Holy Spirit has given you, you will say things like, man, this is what I was made for. It's amazing, I've seen people, even in our church, serve and really not know their purpose yet, but they start serving, and they start putting their hands to the plow, and then all of a sudden, I'll brag on one of our guys, Dan Sparling. I'll never forget when he started doing serving and started doing outreaches. I'll never forget the conversation. He said, this is it for me. Like, this is what I was made for, Pastor. And it was cool to see just that whole passion and light bulb for him come on as he started, because what he did is he took a step to start doing some things beyond himself and saying, now this is what I was made for. I just can't sit on the gift that God has given me. What can I do to be involved? And then God ends up elevating him to be now our director over it. Who would have thought? But it's because he made a decision to take the gift of God And he served in that gift. And as he was serving in that cause, he realized, man, this thing is what stirs in me. This is it. This is what I was made for, all right? And so as you do that, some things will begin to come alive to you. And honestly, the happiest people in this church that I know are those who are serving on the dream team. Because they're serving in the area of their gifts, and they're serving in the areas of their purpose. And now some of them are starting small groups and new ministries. That's what's happened for some of them. Some of them are in a place where they're still figuring it out and hearing from the Lord. But it's an opportunity to see people grow in their gift and be used for the glory of God. I love that. John 15 said, "This to be my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So how do we show that we're his disciples? By helping to bear fruit, all right? "I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." I believe this ultimate fulfillment in your life is when you're making a difference in the life of somebody else. Come on up, worship team. All right, here's the fourth thing today, and that is this, that his gifts touch other people's lives, all right? People have connected with the gifts a lot of times. Listen to me very clearly on this. This is where people get messed up and they get into wrong teaching that's not Bible. All right? So we want to do what God says, not what we want to do. Amen? But people oftentimes have connected with their gifts for the way that it makes them feel. And so let me say this. That's not the point. All right? The Holy Spirit did not come for your personal entertainment. All right? And so at the end of the day, spiritual gifts are to be used to help impact the lives of other people. The Bible says this in 1 Peter 4:10, that God has given gifts to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Look at the charge that we're given. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. So important. So here's kind of a definition that I have for you, just for what a really spiritual gift is, that a spiritual gift is a special supernatural ability that God gives to each of his children so that together they can advance. It's all about advancing his purposes in the world and to see the kingdom of God advance. Are you with me? Amen? And so it's not about me, it's about God moving through me. And it's when we talk about the working of the Holy Spirit and the only part of us that's like God, our spirit, man, this is why I believe this is crucial for us. Just the whole journey of our faith and our relationship with God is we can't do this without the Holy Spirit. And more importantly, I hope at the end of today that you realize how desperate you and I have to be for the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen? Would you stand to your feet this morning? Because here's the deal. Here's the deal that's going to come for us. One day for you and I, we're going to stand before an almighty God. And there's kind of a two-test question that you and I will get. The first question will be, what did you do with my son? What did you do with my son Jesus? And then the second of that is, what did you do with the gifts that I gave you? And I don't know about you, but man, I want to be found faithful. I want to be found faithful, stewarding. Scripture said, managing those things well. And so I just want to encourage us today. You and I have no idea how much time that we have left, but with whatever time we have left, man, let's spend our life using it to make a difference for the glory of God. Let's spend our time growing in our faith, developing the gifts of God so that we can reach a dying world. And there's people, guess what, in your sphere of influence, whether work, whether neighbors, wherever, that you and I are called to impact, and that we may be the only Bible that they'll ever read in their life. And so I just want to encourage you with that. Would you bow your heads right where you're at? Because I want to first just give an opportunity before we do anything else in this service to know Jesus personally. Just this past week, we received just some unbelievably horrific news from my home church in Columbus. And the dear family that I've been in relationship for a very, very long time, one of their boys, he's 21 years of age, died in his sleep. I think he had a seizure and died. They don't know for sure. And I mean, it stunned me. I mean, I literally gasped when I heard the news and I got it and I reached out. And that just showed me that none of us are promised tomorrow, and that's not a fearful thing. But with whatever time that you and I have, can I challenge you to use it for the Lord? And if there's any person here that you're not sure about your eternity, where you would go. Heaven and hell are realities, and that should never be a fearful thing. We talked today as the only way to heaven is through a personal relationship with God. Hell is not a place that was ever meant for us. Heaven has always been the place that was meant for you and me. And so this morning, with every head bowed, if you're in a place right now and you need a relationship with God, or maybe you need to just recommit your heart and your life to Him completely today and say, man, I need to give my life over to Him completely today. Forget about who's next to you. On the count of three, that's you. Just unashamed, I want you to lift up your hand. 1, 2, 3, real high. Say, man, that's me. I want to know where I'm spending eternity. Yeah, gotcha. I want to know that it's secure. I want to have no question about that. Want to be in relationship with God. Anybody else? Awesome. All right. And I want to lead you in this prayer today and just repeat this. If you didn't feel comfortable raising your hand, it's fine. But let me just give this to you today and just for us together to say a prayer together. And just say this after me. Jesus, I give you my life. I repent of my sins. And I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Come live on the inside of me and change me. And thank you for loving me. And thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.